This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So it looks as though there will be a race among Massachusetts Republicans in the special U.S. Senate election to fill John Kerry's seat. When former Senator Scott Brown declined, it seemed that nobody from the state GOP would jump into the race. But now at least three Republicans are moving toward a run.
Gabriel Gomez, a former U.S. Navy SEAL and a private equity investor from Cohasset, kicked off his campaign today. In a video statement, Gomez introduces himself in Spanish and English as the son of immigrants who refuses to be cynical about America's future and who favors spending cuts as the, quote, common sense way to balance the budget.
I'm not a politician, so I'll have a very different kind of campaign. If you're happy with the way things are going in our government, I'm not your kind of candidate. Washington bickers and fights over everything. It's too partisan, it's too petty, and too little gets done. People say it can't be changed. As a Navy SEAL and now a businessman in Boston, I've been doing things that people said couldn't get done.
Gabriel Gomez will be running against State Representative Dan Winslow, a former aide to Governor Mitt Romney, and possibly against State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr, a Republican from Gloucester who's also considering getting into the race.
So listeners, with better-known top-tier Republicans like Scott Brown, Bill Weld, Kerry Healey, and Charlie Baker declining to run, what do you make of this group of lesser-known Republican candidates running for the U.S. Senate? What does it say about the future of the state GOP? We'd like to hear from you, particularly if you're a Massachusetts Republican. You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Now, we did ask Gabriel Gomez, Dan Winslow, and Bruce Tarr to join us today. We heard back only from Dan Winslow, who declined. The other two we didn't hear back from. But we are joined now by former Republican State Senator Richard Tesei. He ran against Congressman John Tierney in the 6th District and lost by just 1 point back in November. And Richard Tesei, great to have you back on Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Stephen Aylward. He's a member of the Massachusetts Republican Assembly, which calls itself the Republican wing of the Republican Party. He ran for the state Senate back in November and lost. And Stephen Aylward, welcome back to you as well. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Anthony. Good to talk to you again. And hello, Richard. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Now, we've had you both on last November. You joined us right after the November election to talk about the future of the Republican Party here in Massachusetts. The landscape has changed significantly since then. So let's talk first about who's running. And Richard, to say, I want to go back to something you said back in November. You stressed that the Republican Party really needed different voices, different opinions, different ideas. What do you make, first of all, of someone like Gabriel Gomez as a candidate? He's a Latino. He's not a politician, he says, former Navy SEAL. Is he who the party needs?
I think he's got a great background, and he's off to a good start. And I think Dan Winslow, I know you gave his credentials, but he was also a former district court judge besides being a legislator. So he has experience in different branches of government. And I think the fact that there are candidates stepping forward, new people, as far as statewide races go, is a really positive and healthy thing for the Republican Party. It's great that on our side there will be a primary, so all the attention won't just be on the Democratic side with Lynch and Markey running. And I think it gives the candidates a great opportunity to get known and to get their voices and their viewpoints out there.
Stephen Aylward, a quick word from you on these candidates, and start, if you would, with Gabriel Gomez.
Well, I agree with Richard. I mean, it is really good for our party to have a primary, to have someone who is an image that is not typical of the image of the Republican Party. I really think it's an optimistic time for us. We've got young people coming up. We've got good, strong people. And on top of that, I mean, we have the Democrats fighting amongst themselves today in the paper about who's not as big a hack as the other one, Markey and Lynch. So I think that bodes well for us.
So it bodes well. Well, as we mentioned, several prominent Republicans in the state have announced they won't be running, including you, Richard Tesei, Scott Brown, Kerry Healey, William Weld, Charlie Baker. First of all, Richard, while we have you here, why aren't you running?
Well, I just got through a race, and when you're running, whether it's a congressional race or a statewide race, it's pretty grueling. And for me personally, getting into another race, I thought about it, I think, on a Saturday, and I said, do I want to get up on Monday and collect 10,000 signatures and jump right into this? Because this is a pretty quick you know, the window's almost closed as far as candidates being able to get in. You have the logistical problem of being able to get 10,000 signatures, good signatures, which means you need 20,000 by the end of this month. And then you also have the fundraising that goes along with it. So I think, you know, for me personally, it didn't make sense. And I know for other people, you know, like Charlie Baker, for instance, I think if he's going to run for anything, he has his eye on, you know, the governor's race in 2014. And, you know, and I certainly understand Scott Brown's decision. I mean, he ran two statewide races. This would have been his third. And if he would have been successful, he would have found himself in a fourth statewide race to run for the full term in 2014. So, you know.
But let me ask you this, and this isn't to take anything away from these lesser-known candidates, Gabriel Gomez, Dan Winslow, or possibly Steve Tarr, who we haven't heard for sure will be running or not. But without these sort of more prominent Republicans stepping forward, at least one of them for this race, does it send the message that Republicans think there's just no way they can win this? Let me start with you, Stephen.
Oh, no, I don't think so at all. I think that our farm team is some of our strongest candidates. I think that, you know, some of those people that, whose names that you mentioned probably just don't have as good a chance as some of these younger candidates. I think one of them's going to catch fire. I think that they're in a tough situation now because getting that many signatures on short notice is, in fact, a very difficult thing, and raising that much money is a difficult thing. But I think the time is right for one of them to catch lightning in a bottle.
Hmm. I said Steve Tarr. I meant to say Bruce Tarr, who's the state Senate minority leader. He's delayed announcing his entrance into that race. We'll talk about the challenge here. 10,000 signatures. This all has to happen by February 28th, so it's 2 weeks. How big a barrier is that, Richard, to say, to get over that?
Well, having run for statewide office and having had collect that many signatures, it does. You need double the amount to make sure that you have valid signatures that are certified. So, you know, as the days tick by, you know, and the weather being what it has been the last few days, you don't, you know, catch a lot of people. And when you do, it's at the supermarket, and you don't know if people are registered or not. You know, your valid signature percentage goes down. So it is a bit of a challenge, and I think that's why you see both Mr. Gomez and Winslow right now talking about hiring a professional signature company to help them get the signatures. It is a huge hurdle to jump over.
And the other big hurdle, I mean, one of the other big hurdles, of course, is fundraising. At least one of the Democrats, Congressman Ed Markey, has a big stash of campaign cash. Whoever the Republican candidate is, will national Republicans chip in to make this race more competitive?
I think you're going to see that happen because it is the only game in town as far as United States Senate seat being open. And I do think that the Republican Party on the national level and the state level, we all expect to contest it pretty heavily. There is a pretty good donor base here in Massachusetts, and there are a lot of people nationally who, I think if you looked at Scott Brown's race when he ran in the special election, there were people all over the country that chipped in to help elect him. So I do think that, you know, once the primary is over, you're going to see, you know, you'll see some substantial help, whoever emerges victorious.
Do you agree with that, Stephen Aylward? Or do you expect national Republicans to chip in a big way with the cash?
I think that depends on the candidates. I think that, you know, one of the reasons that Scott Brown got so much money in 2010 was that he stood as a man of conviction, and he was anti-establishment. He was fighting for what's right. And I think if people can look at one of our candidates and find someone with a record of results, and I think they're there, and someone who'll stand up for the common interest, I think then the money will flow in, not just in Massachusetts, but nationally. Mm. But again, depends upon the candidates and their ability to inspire the base.
Mm. And Stephen, you know, give me a sense of who that candidate might be. I mean, Gabriel Gomez has sort of cast himself. Again, we reached out to him. He didn't want to come on the air yet, but according to his statement and that bit of that video clip we played, he's really casting himself as an outsider. Navy SEAL, someone who's really not part of the Washington establishment. Is that someone who's going to inspire the base that you're that you say needs to be inspired?
Well, I don't know enough about him to say that he is or he isn't. Bruce Tarr is certainly a man of conviction and someone I've met before, and he may be able to do it. Dan Winslow has a good record, and there may even be other candidates out there who haven't come forward. It's late, but there is the possibility that others might come forward. So.
Now, in the special election a couple of years ago in which Scott Brown shocked the Democrats and the world and won, Republicans came together in a big way to help him, and he was a pretty effective candidate on, in his own right, obviously. What lessons might there be for this current crop of Republicans from the Scott Brown story?
Well, I would say the thing that Scott did really well during his campaign is he was very well organized, and you know, he was able to present himself as a breath of fresh air. You know, that Democratic primary, the year that he ran, that Coakley emerged victorious, all of them sound, they were all singing off the same, you know, music sheet. They all sounded exactly the same. And I think, you know, that, you know, between Markey and Lynch, there really isn't a big difference as far as, you know, politics as usual in Washington. And I do think that, you know, all of the Republican candidates who are being talked about right now, if they can offer a clear contrast and, you know, and clear solutions that are different than what people are, you know, hear or expect on the Democratic side, and create that contrast, that, you know, they're going to have a pretty good chance to be successful. And, you know, you said earlier, you know, is this a good thing, you know, that you know, as far as getting new people involved, by the end of this race, you know, whether it's Gabriel or Dan who was our nominee, they're going to be a household name in Massachusetts, and I do think they'll get the attention that they need to have a really good shot to win.
So, listeners, we're talking about the future of the Republican Party and specifically the race for Senate in Massachusetts with better-known top-tier Republican names like Scott Brown, Bill Weld, Kerry Healy, Charlie Baker declining to run. What do you make of this group of lesser-known Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate? What does it say about the future of the state GOP? We'd love to hear from you, particularly if you're a Massachusetts Republican. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Steve Aylward, sort of picking up on something that Richard Tesei suggested there, is there an advantage to have lesser-known Republicans in this race at this time? Fresh face, fresh names.
Yeah, I mean, I would put it to you that most of Massachusetts had no idea who Scott Brown was back in 2009 when he started in October of that year in Needham Square. So I would say, yeah. We need people. A lot of people have not been able to win. Some of our newer faces have been able to win. We've been able to have terrific successes with newcomers in the legislature. So it is a good thing.
Yeah. The last time we had you two on right after the November election, we heard this sentiment from a listener named Russ from Brighton. Let's listen.
When Republicans try to act like Democrats, they always lose.
So that's something that we heard from Russ in Brighton. How can these candidates avoid that trap? What do you think, Richard, to say?
Well, I think that the issues that are important to people, I mean, you know, branding yourself properly, I think, is really important as far as, you know, putting yourself in sync with the majority of voters here in Massachusetts. And I think that most people here in the state are concerned about federal spending and the fact that, you know, we're, you know, have a tremendous debt, $16 trillion, and our budgets in Washington are unbalanced, and it's just getting worse and worse. And I think a lot of people are concerned about job creation and the fact that we haven't been creating jobs here in the state or on the national level to the extent that you need to, you know, that need to be created to have a healthy economy. And if those are the issues that the candidates are talking about that on our side, I think we're going to do pretty well and attract a lot of people. And you know, you do want to, you do need to have, you know, contrast. I think the contrast isn't so much between Democrat or Republican. It's between business as usual in Washington and, you know, electing somebody who's going to go down to Washington and do things and look at things differently than most people do.
And Stephen Aylward, same question to you. You know, we heard Russ there, when Republicans try to act like Democrats, they always lose. I mean, this seems to be, this would seem to be something that would come right out of the Massachusetts Republican Assembly. Do you agree with that? And how to avoid that trap?
Well, I mean, it is true that when there's no distinction and no separation from the Democrats will always win. But if we were truly acting like Democrats, we'd probably end up in jail like their speakers and their state senators and their state reps. So I think one of the things that really does separate us from the Democrats, and hopefully the people will get this, is that we are a much more, I mean, all politicians have issues, but when you look at the overall record of corruption, the Democrats always win that one.
And Stephen, you know, when we had you on back November, you made the point that Republicans really have to be promoters of something that is distinctly different from the Democrats. I mean, you just made the point about corruption, but what specifically in terms of sort of affirmative policy issues do you think that would be the winning cause, the winning issue in a special election race like this?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of issues, Anthony, that really could... We could coalesce behind, where the whole electorate basically agrees with us, like immigration reform, things of that nature, where it's somewhat apart from the fiscal issues, but then it's not, because illegal immigration weighs so heavily on our taxes and things of that nature. One of the things I'm hoping that the Republican Party will do is to start to come up with some ballot questions which will inspire the base on things that we can agree on and get that out. I mean, the Mass GOP has been remiss on a few things in the past. And
such as, be specific, what are you referring to?
Well, ballot questions. Yeah, certainly. Our technology needs to improve significantly. In fact, one of the things that we're hoping for is that the Brown campaign, which kind of left us in this lurch, by the way, it's short notice having to collect all these signatures. We're hoping that they will at least share their data with us, their database, some of their technology, so that we can have a leg up on this race. There's many, many things that the party can do. We have a new chair, and hopefully she will lead us in that direction.
Let's get a couple of callers into this conversation. Irfram is calling from Waltham. Hi, Irfram, you're on the air.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi there. What's on your mind?
Basically, I personally feel that in Massachusetts, Republicans are going through identity crisis, and the way out would be to realign the policy from top to down, basically realign the national issues. And state Republican Party doesn't have to come out with a different platforms when they are running for it. To me, there is a huge gap between the Tea Party and the Republican Party in Massachusetts proposes their rules. So people are watching national TV, and they can't connect the local Republican Party to the national party.
So you're saying that the local Republican Party needs to do a better job aligning itself with the national Republican Party?
Absolutely. They need to come out with a clear, stronger message that they are for middle class. Ultimately, they are for the middle class. They are not working for millionaires. They are not working for billionaires. They don't work for oil companies. They work for middle class and social group.
All right. Let me throw that idea to our two guests. Richard Tessay, what do you think of Irfram's point?
I agree with that. One of the things that the Republican Party, both on the local level here in Massachusetts and the national level, has to do is we have to... explain to people how the policies that we're promoting impact their lives and will improve their lives. And, you know, the Republican Party, has to promote itself as the party of fiscal responsibility, the party that's best to create jobs, and the party of limited government. And those are the, you know, I think we're all pretty much in sync, both on the local level and the federal level. On those issues, and if those are the things that we're talking about, we're going to be very successful on running on those issues.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Stephen.
And can I chip in there?
Yeah.
I find it really funny that there's all this talk about rich Republicans and elitists and things of that nature. And one of the things is when I go to my my Republican town committee meeting in Watertown, it's all just common people working for a living. We don't need, you know, caviar there. I drive a 2000 Saturn that doesn't even go in reverse. But this gentleman is from Waltham. I know the people over there.
I hope you have a circular driveway, Steve.
I don't. But anyway, my point is that I know a whole lot more rich Democrats in this state than I know rich Republicans. Most Republicans I know see them standing on the corner holding Scott Brown signs, standing there in jeans and boots. We're just regular people. Our problem is we've let the Democrats define us, and they love it. And while they're eating at the Beitel Room, you know, we're eating in the cafeteria, and they define us as rich. That's one place where we have failed as a party, both nationally and regionally.
But Irfram did bring up an interesting point. He used the word identity crisis. And if you look at the Republican Party nationally, there is a bit of a split going on among the national Republicans right now between Tea Party activists and sort of the GOP establishment. Figures like Karl Rove, you're seeing competing political action committees being set up here. I mean, where is that split? Let me start with you, Stephen. Going to be reflected in some way here in Massachusetts, and does that somehow explain some of the weakness within the Republican Party these days, both nationally and here in Massachusetts?
Yes and no. I mean, I on the social issues, you know, I have strong feelings on that, Anthony, but some. It really comes down to candidates. I've come to believe over time that candidates can really make a difference in getting the message out there. I mean, you can be a strong pro-life candidate and win in this state, and you can be a pro-life Democrat and win in this state. And it comes down to really the candidate and their ability to inspire the troops and come off as a person of conviction. I'm often taken by some of the things that liberals say. They stand up and say them, and I just shake my head at why anybody would ever vote for them. But they say it with conviction, mm-hmm. They say it with passion, and they say it as if they know what they're doing. Our candidates have to be true to themselves first and the message, and get out there and make people believe that they will stand up for them, and they will be people who represent the voice of the people.
All right, we've got to leave it there because our time is up. Stephen Aylward of the Massachusetts Republican Assembly, thanks so much. And Richard Tessay, former state senator, thank you both. We'll keep this, we'll look forward to talking to you as this story progresses in the weeks ahead. Many thanks.
Take care.
Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, we eat a salad grown entirely in water. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.